The League of Legends betting podcast is brought to you by my patrons at patreon.com/gelatilol. There you can find bonus content like in-depth articles on macro trend analysis and league previews, as well as thoughts on breaking news and the podcast picks before the show is released to platforms. You also get to support your creators more directly. patreon.com/gelatilol. That's G-E-L-A-T-I-L-O-L. Good evening, everyone. It's a little bit after 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Saturday, April 6th. Hope everyone's enjoying their weekend here. Just a quick recap of the Saturday morning games. We had the LEC, or the LCK and the LPL. I actually have to spend the night reviewing the LEC VODs. I was asleep, so I didn't get to watch either of these matches. I will be catching up on them later on tonight. If I have any comments on any of them, I'll let you know. Just looking at the box scores, it didn't seem like there was too much to really comment on. Overall for the day, we had a very, very good day. It was, let me check what it was. We were plus 3.625 units on the day, a clean 4-0 on our four plays we had. The main thing I'm going to talk about here first is this Genji Hanwha Life series. This was not a good showing, I don't think, from either team. They gutted it out. I think there was clearly some nerves or something going on, but this was an extraordinarily sloppy series from both of these teams. There was a lot of out-of-character decisions from both teams. Maybe a little bit of the pressure getting to them, I don't know, but this was one of those series where, like, I would have probably downgraded both. Like, I'm probably going to downgrade both teams, like, in my head. Not a lot, but a little bit. Quite frankly, as someone that was holding Genji moneyline in this series, I felt lucky to get out alive in this match. I legitimately thought Hanwha outplayed them in three of these four games, and Hanwha lost the series 3-1. Hanwha have been so good with a lead this season that it was kind of jarring to see them throw two of these games, and you could maybe argue the last game as well. It was jarring. It was very, very weird. This is a team that's been nails. They've been so fundamentally sound with the lead that if you make a mistake, they just win the game. So, you know, I really thought that Genji were toast in this series. Genji played terrible today and won this series. So, you know, there's two ways you could look at it. One is if Genji played bad and they still won, then how much of a unit is this team? The other one is like, do we have to be concerned about that moving forward? This team might just be too good. I don't know, but it was a really, really sloppy series. It was not. Both these teams were way out of character, not doing the things they normally do. It was a very strange one. That said, this was an absolute heroic performance from Chovy. Chovy, you know, putting all the choker narrative shit to bed. He was insane in this match. He was 1v9. Him, Delight had some really, really great plays too, but Chovy, yeah, I think it's safe to say this was like a legit Chovy 1v9 carry, or Chovy and Delight 2v8 carry, because Genji as a team were not playing well, and Chovy was just ridiculous today. He did everything right. He did just an insanely efficient performance. Kind of shows you why a lot of people think he's the best player in the world, and it's tough to argue against it after this kind of game. On this stage, against this level of competition, to 1v9 a series like that is extraordinarily difficult, and he did it. It's ridiculous. He had an insane day today. Good on Chovy. He gets the gold star for the day. NIP versus Bilibili. This was a bit of an odd one too. The first one, Bilibili just completely shit stomped. The second game, NIP got them. Third game was a Bilibili shit stomping, and the fourth game, I thought, was kind of odd. I thought, like, NIP had a really good lead. They got a ridiculous start to this series. They had something like I'm pretty sure they were up like 2K in the first 10 minutes or something in the fourth game of this, and threw it all back. Like, they just completely bungled this match. Probably should have won game 4 and forced a game 5, so I guess I'm lucky I got BLG home there. But yeah, I don't know. Bilibili wasn't like a great series from them. It was just okay. I actually thought NIP played pretty good. They played more like they did in the last match. And it just goes to show you like how big of a difference there is between the elite teams and non-elite teams, that Bilibili were just okay today, and NIP were playing toward the top of their like range, and they still lost 3-1. So yeah, kind of shows you the big difference between the Elite 3 and the rest of the LPL. Again, I'll recap LEC, or if there's any comments really have on that. I have to rewatch the VODs tonight. I haven't gotten to them yet. I wanted to get this out to you guys at a reasonable hour. So if I have any comments on the LEC, I'll release them on tomorrow's show. But not likely that there's going to be anything. All right, let's move on to the slate. I'm going to be doing LPL, LCK, and LEC all on this show for tomorrow's slate. Later on tonight, probably before the Eastern slate starts in the morning, I'm going to have the I'll have the Monday slate for the LEC and LPL out. I think there's an LPL game Monday. Let me double check. I'm pretty sure there is. Regardless, we'll figure that out then. First game tomorrow morning, D plus Kia against T1. D plus Kia plus 208 on the money line, plus 1.5 at minus 106, plus 2.5 minus 365, minus 1.5 at plus 425, minus 2.5 at plus 1085. T1 on the money line is minus 261, minus 1.5 is at minus 114, minus 2.5 is at plus 280. T1 obviously looked like shit in their last series. D plus put a hell of a fight up against Gen G in that slobber knocker of a match. Couldn't quite get there in the end, but once again delivering as underdogs. D plus are 6-3 against the map spread, 18-9 against the kill spread as underdogs this season. The models are obviously going to say that T1 are a play here. You look at T1's performance both for and or with the filter and the filter, like the playoff team filter and the play and the full season sample. It's still going to say T1 are a huge value in this contest, but I think there's legitimate question marks to or questions to ask after that last series. Is there something going on here? Because, you know, they mentioned a bunch of stuff in that post game interview, and then they also gave you two of their bottom five game grades for the entire season. And all three games fell within the bottom quartile of T1's performance metrics this season. And I think there's legitimately cause for concern. They looked disjointed. They looked off. I thought Hanwha played an obscenely good game or good series on the day, so I don't want to take anything away from them. But I think it's safe to say that Hanwha or that T1 had some issues the other day. The head-to-head matchup between these two, T1 won both of them 2-0. Two of these games were pretty close. The most recent one, Game 2 in the Week 8 series, was a massive throw from D+. They were probably like 90% plus to win this game and didn't. So keep that in mind. I think a lot of what this handicap comes down to, especially when you're talking about like the straight-up money line play, is what do you think? Like, do you think any of this T1 stuff is real? Like, Do we think this was just a bad day or an exceptionally good day from Hanwha, or do you think it was a little bit of both? I think a lot of this matters for, like, this is a very, very qualitative handicap because, like, strictly by the numbers, the value is on T1 here. It's just a matter of whether or not you think of what kind of performance you're going to get from T1. Like, that's really what you're getting down to here. Like, this is a qualitative handicap. Do you think that stuff is real or do you think it's not? Because if you think it is, then I think there's... you have to put enough respect on D+ as underdogs. Like, this team has the upside to just beat these good teams. Personally, and you're here for my thoughts, so I'll give you my thoughts on this. I'm not full on doom and gloom in regard to T1. Like, I don't think this is like, you know, the apocalypse. This is a catastrophic issue or something. Like, I think they're going to be fine eventually, but I think something is clearly off right now, and I think you get very few opportunities like this to get a good shot at these big dogs and like these big, you know, the big dogs in the court, so to speak, right? Like these elite teams, they're not down a lot. Like, they're not in bad spots a lot. And I think this is kind of reminiscent of that Hanwha series a few weeks ago where like the Azir disable patch just came in. Hanwha were running hot. T1 were looking a little bit sloppy. It was kind of right time, right place to back a dog against T1. I think that might be the case here again. I at least think there's enough of a question mark that I think it's interesting to get involved with D+ here. I also think like D+ are just playing really, really well right now. So if you're catching one at the bottom and one toward the top, a lot of times during the regular season, I would bet on regression and go the other way, like counter trend. But in a situation like this, I think D+ are going to be able to keep this competitive. And I think the price is right, given the question marks. I might be overreacting a little bit, but like that was a jarringly bad performance from T1 the other day. And I can't help but think that there's something wrong. That said, nothing would really surprise me. If they come out in 3-0 and look great tomorrow, then, you know, so be it. That's fine. But I'm going to pay to see it because I think they're kind of kind of trying to punch them when they're down here, so they're kicking when they're down, so to speak, right? I think this is yet another one of those, like, right time, right place contextual handicaps. And I'm gonna go with D+ here. So I play D+ plus 1.5 maps at minus 109 at for 1.2 units, D+ money line plus at plus 229 for half a unit, D+ minus 1.5 at plus 421 for 0.2 units, and the D+ sweep at plus 1085 for 0.1 units. Next up, we have the LPL, Top Esports versus JD Gaming. This should be a banger. Yeah, Top Esports are minus 122 on the money line, minus 1.5, plus 171, minus 2.5, plus 482. Plus 1.5 is at minus 264. The plus 2.5 is at minus 900. JD Gaming, plus 101 on the money line, plus 1.5 is at minus 211, plus 2.5 is at minus 696, minus 1.5 is at plus 210, and the minus 2.5 sweep is at plus 590. This is only the third time JDG have been underdogs this season. The only time they were underdogs were against Top Esports and JDG. JDG won the regular season head-to-head matchup. It was a 2-1 reverse sweep. The first game was relatively close. The second two were two JDG blowouts. This is the first playoff matchup we're going to get between two of the three elite teams in the LPL. This should be an absolute banger. Hopefully, or thankfully, we are in W elimination territory now so that both these teams aren't done with the loser here. Thank goodness. Now, a few weeks ago, I probably would have told you Top Esports are worth a play at the price. The models still think the Top Esports are worth a play at price. They think they should be slightly bigger favorites. I do think Top have been slightly better this season. I know they lost the head-to-head, but in general, I think they've been a better team. Not by much. I think these Elite Three teams are all so good that, you know, I think JDG are probably the worst of the three based on what we've seen so far, but we're nitpicking here. Like, I do think like all three of them are so good and they can all beat each other, and it's close to a coin flip when you're dealing with these kind of teams until we see otherwise. That said, I think a few weeks ago I would have been more interested in Top Esports, but after this last series with Flandre coming off the bench out of the time chamber, so to speak, he just went absolutely berserk in that last series. Absolutely ridiculous match from Flandre, just hard carried the series. It's not that anybody else on JDG played poorly or anything like that, but he just went absolutely bananas and put the series on his back and just took over the entire series. Like, all three games he was just ludicrously good. So if Flandre is going to play like that, I think the biggest edge Top Esports had on the map was 369, and if he's in good form and, you know, Flandre's can kind of somewhat cancel out how good 369 is. I think 369 is the best top laner in the league. But I think if he can kind of cancel that out to some extent, then I think that kind of cuts into the advantage Top Esports have. At the same time, they've had a series to study and see what they're going to do. Top Esports also have side choice for this match. Now, I guess that's kind of balanced out by them coming in cold a little bit while JDG have a match under their belt. But I think all that stuff kind of cancels out. And, like, ultimately, I think this is still very much just close to a coin flip. I could see the case for JDG. I could see the case for Top. I personally don't have strong enough feelings either way in this contest to play. I don't think there's a big enough edge to play either side of this. I would lean Top Esports. I'd also lean Kill Total overs. My projections actually made this an underplay. The model suggested playing a Kill Total under. But especially because these two were kind of like on the lower end of the league for like overall combined kills per game. Top Esports were above average in combined kills per minute, but because their games were so short, they didn't get over their total very often. I think these two teams are both exceptionally good at snowballing games out, so I think it wouldn't shock me to see just like, you know, three or four or five games where three or four of them are just complete shit stompings one way or the other. Just because you have two good teams doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be competitive individual games. Keep that in mind. I would lean toward Kill Total overs, though, just because I think if these games are at all contested and this gets chippy, I think you typically want to get involved with overs when you have two good teams against each other. That's especially in playoffs. That's just kind of like a long-term winning idea. I didn't ultimately play anything in this match. I would lean Kill Total Overs, lean toward Top Esports ever so slightly, but I didn't end up playing anything. This should be an awesome match, so I'm looking forward to seeing it. Last but not least, we have our first best of five in the LEC. We have G2 Esports -384 on the money line, -1.5 maps at -149, -2.5 is at +219. Against Team BDS, +293 on the money line, +1.5 maps is at +122, +2.5 is at -277, -1.5 is at +624, and the underdog sweep is at +1721. G2 19-5 is favorites, 5-1 against the map spread is favorites. BDS 3-4 is dogs, 1-1 against the map spread is dogs. G2, very clearly the class of the West. They are the best team in the West. It's not remotely close. This is not a surprise. This isn't some kind of crazy newsflash or hot take. The question is, when does the price become expensive enough that we want to, you know, sell the top or go the other way? Qualitatively speaking, G2 have completely owned this team. Stylistically, it's a brutal matchup for BDS because Broken Blade can do everything well that he just kind of like anything that Adam does or Adam has cooked up. Like, he really any top laner, not just Adam. He can kind of cancel out whatever, and it gives G2 a level of flexibility to do just whatever they need to do in a series, and they're capable of doing everything. They play every style well. They do everything. They can carry out of all positions. G2 are maybe one of the better Western teams we've ever seen. Even this iteration, I think, not just over the last couple of years, but this team is legit good. They're extremely well coached. They do everything well. So you need to have like an outlier good performance to beat this team outright in a 5-game series. You just do. It's going to take like a good like upper quartile performance from BDS and a lower quartile performance from G2 to, I think, even get a money line home, much less like any kind of lopsided spread. But again, that's why we play the games. I said the same thing about Hanwha T1 the other day, and look what happened there. I like G2 slightly more than my models do. G2, the models made this series -218 fair, which is like 68.5%. I like G2 on the money line like slightly more than that, but not as much as this market price, which is getting toward, you know, -400. So I don't really like, you know, we're getting to a point where you're talking like 75%. And BDS are a good team. Like, it's disrespectful to get any like much more expensive than this when you have a good team involved. But over 5 games, G2 are just such good problem solvers, both over the course of a game and over the course of a series, that I really have a very difficult time seeing them losing this match. If you made me play anything in it, like, I looked into the derivatives. I was like, are these map spreads for BDS good enough? Because I think they could get one or two. This is a good enough team to get one or two. But I think the price is just about right on these. Like, I'm somewhere in between. Like, I'm more bullish than my models, but less bullish than the market. So I'm kind of in between. Normally, when you're in between and it's a big delta like that, like, there's a play to be made somewhere. But the more I started looking at this stuff, I was like, you know what? Like, I don't know if there's actually one. Because it wouldn't shock me at all to see G2 just like 3-0 stomp this, and it's not a question, and they're just the best team, and they're never challenged, and it's whatever, and off to MSI we go. But at the same time, it's like, the +2.5 maps for BDS is probably a play. It's like -277. It sucks like laying that kind of juice, but like if you made me play something, I would either play that or I would just play the G2 money line for like a single stake. I think this is. The vast majority of the outcomes in this match are like 3-1 G2. You could maybe, I mean, this might be a spot to bet the exacta. I don't know. Usually those are terrible value and you're just better off playing something else from a percentage standpoint. So I didn't play anything in this on the side. I did, however, play Kill Total Unders. If you filter out the entire winter split and just look at the spring and what we've seen recently, both these teams are under teams. The projection was slightly above the 25.5 under that I'm going to play, but in terms of frequency with which they go over this total, it's not as often. So I think you have a large swath of outcomes where, you know, G2 steamroll like two of these games and maybe BDS keeps one close and you get two of these home, you net it. So I don't think it's a massive, massive edge by any stretch, but I played maps 1, 2, and 3 under 25.5 kills. That's an alt under at +110 for half a unit each. So it's a net 1.5 unit exposure. I'm really looking to win a half unit on these. Or on this, it's kind of like I'm hoping to get two of these three home. If this turns into a Clown Fiesta series, then I'm okay. I only had a half stake on it. But I really like the kill total unders in this because I think there's a good chance that two or three of these games are one-way traffic. Really, either in either direction. It's pretty tough to run G2 over, but BDS are good enough to do that if they get the chance to. And I think G2 more than likely probably steamroll two of these games. So I like kill total unders there. I would lean, like, if you made me pick something, it'd be like I'd play like G2 money line or BDS plus 2.5 maps. I think the vast majority of the outcomes in this series end up with a G2 3-1 or 3-0 victory. So that's going to be it for me. I will see you all probably later tonight, early before the Eastern slate starts up. I'm going to go watch some March Madness, and I'll try to get something for the Monday show out early because I'm going to be tied up Sunday afternoon. Until then, best of luck, enjoy your weekend, and I will see you next time.